The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I'm your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. Sole proprietorship, partnership, corporation. Which form of business is yours? A while back, we polled users on the forcefield.net and asked what type or form of business they owned. Of those who responded, 21% said they were limited liability companies, 3% were C corporations, 10% were S corporations, 5% were partnerships, and 2% were limited liability partnerships. However, a majority of businesses were simply owned by a single individual. According to the poll, 55% were sole proprietors. While a sole proprietorship seems to be the most popular form of business, is it really the best way to start a tech company? Or can it actually be a liability, especially in the field of IT? Today we're going to talk with an expert on business formation, learn about the various business entities we can start, and consider both the advantages and disadvantages of choosing one form over the other. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Apple officially began selling the new iPad April 3rd. The iPad, a device touted as something between a mobile phone and a laptop, is a tablet with a 7.9-inch screen, weighs about 1.5 pounds, and is only half an inch thick. The iPad retails from $499. CompTIA announced April 1st it would offer a new membership package aimed specifically at value-added resellers. Benefits include discounts on CompTIA certification vouchers, free registration to the annual CompTIA breakaway event, membership in CompTIA communities, and discounts on insurance, travel, and shipping. The annual fee is $250 or $20 a month. If you are working in the field, you may be listening to the Force Field right now while en route to a service call on site. You're probably navigating streets and dodging traffic in an effort to get there on time, get the job done, and get to the next job as quickly as possible. What if you didn't have to go through all that to get there? What if there was a way to save gas, vehicle wear, and travel time, and get the job done faster? Well, there is a way. The way I do it, with GoToAssist Express. With GoToAssist Express, you can resolve issues faster, reduce your travel costs, increase customer satisfaction, and move on to another task or customer more quickly. GoToAssist Express is brought to you by Citrix, a trusted name in the industry, so you know GoToAssist Express will be easy and secure. But don't take my word for it. Try it yourself free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. Get the free trial, try it yourself, and let me know what you think. Work smarter with GoToAssist Express. AMD announced its new Opteron 6000 series platform March 29th. The new server platform features 8 and 12 core processors for the server market. According to AMD, the new platform features an enhanced integrated memory controller which supports 4 channels of DDR3 memory, higher DIMM capacity, and new power management features. And finally, after years of ugly lawsuits and court battles over copyrights between Novell and SCO, a Utah court ruled in favor of Novell and said SCO has no ownership in the Unix code the company claimed was used in Linux. SCO, as you may recall, was the company that claimed ownership of the Unix code and said some of that code was added to Linux. SCO filed lawsuits against IBM, Novell, and Red Hat to prove its point, a point that could have potentially turned all three companies and the entire Linux community upside down had any of it been true. However, SCO could not come up with any viable examples of such transgression. Last week, a jury determined SCO didn't own the code to begin with. So any Unix intellectual property used in Linux, if there was any, wasn't theirs to claim or defend at all. SCO wasn't merely attacking a few companies. It was attempting to change the entire open source landscape, and there was uncertainty over how the case would affect the open source model. After the lawsuits were initially filed, SCO became the most hated and vilified company in the tech world. For years, SCO was seen as the big bad wolf to the Linux community. But for all the huffing and puffing, the company couldn't blow it down. In fact, early on in the story, SCO ran out of breath, and it had to be propped up by Microsoft, themselves accused of searching for a way to combat the spread of Linux. However, now the Linux community can sleep well at night, knowing that the big bad wolf has finally been put in his place. SCO has no claim to Unix or Linux. The Linux world is safe again. And SCO? SCO has likely breathed its last. And that's the news in the Force Field. I am very particular about what goes in the Force Field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the Force Field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoy Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. If you are starting a tech business, or even just thinking about it, at some point you are likely to consider what form the business will take. Do you start a business as a sole proprietorship, partnership, or corporation? Which form of business is right for you? Tony Mancuso is a lawyer who specializes in business formation. Tony is the author of LLC or Corporation, How to Choose the Right Form for Your Business. He has written over a dozen books and articles on forming a business for Nolo.com, a website that offers legal publications, resources, and services online. Today we're going to talk with Tony, learn about the various forms of businesses we can start, discuss the advantages and disadvantages of forming a business as a sole proprietorship or partnership, and discover a form of business known as the Limited Liability Company, or LLC, as we begin with part one of a two-part series on forming your business. And we're speaking to Tony Mancuso. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the Force Field.
Hi.
First of all, Tony, tell us a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, I do a lot of things. I'm a California lawyer. I'm not talking to you as one, though. I'm talking to you as an author of books for Nolo in Berkeley, California. They publish about a dozen of my books on forming different business entities. And I'm also a technologist, and I work for Google.
Doing Google applications?
Yeah. I do writing for them, and I do testing, and I work a lot with their code.
Great. So you know the industry pretty well, then, from a couple of ends.
Yes. I've worked in Silicon Valley as a consultant for many years.
How long have you been working with Nolo and doing the attorney portion of this?
Well, my first book was published in the early 80s, so a long time.
We've discussed in a number of tech forums, those who are getting into business or are looking to form their own business, we've discussed the various forms of business entities to start. And there are a number of different forms of these businesses, including sole proprietorships and partnerships and corporations. And it gets a little confusing for a lot of guys and gals starting their own business as to which way to go when starting their business. And a lot of entrepreneurs start off as sole proprietors, and it's widely considered the easiest and least expensive way to start a business. But in the long run, is it really the best?
Generally speaking, it's a good way to start. My opinion is that you keep things simple and you move to the next step only when necessary, because it's hard enough keeping a business alive. And if you have to take the time out to handle legal and tax formalities, you really need a good reason to do that. That's my opinion.
It's generally pretty cheap to do that, right? What do they really need to do to start a sole proprietorship?
Sole proprietorship is very simple. You know, you need to do tax filings, of course, and you do your Schedule C at the federal level and the state level as well if you have a state income tax. There's generally not a lot of formal paperwork. After all, a sole proprietorship, by definition, is a one-owner business. You may have employees, so you need to do all the employee reporting necessary if you have them. A lot of sole proprietors don't have employees to start. You know, your locality may require business licenses. You may have a fictitious business name. You may need to register that with the county. But generally speaking, there's not a whole lot of paperwork.
So those are primarily the advantages of starting a sole proprietorship, the ease of with which to start it.
Well, basically, you're not doing anything. By definition, you have a sole proprietorship when you engage in business for a profit, and the law will consider your business to be a sole proprietorship. You don't need to start it, per se, you know, as a legal entity at all. You get that by default, just by going into business for yourself.
Now, when you're starting up the business, I take it you can pretty much choose any name as a DBA, or you have to do some research on that first before you actually choose one.
You can choose whatever name you'd like, but if you really want to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, if you want to make sure you have the right to use it and no one will object, you should do a business name search, take a look around, make sure you're not using the name of an existing business in your locality, particularly one that has the same products or services as you do. If you're using a similar name, you can expect to have someone object that you're using their name to for your purposes and kind of capturing their goodwill. So, but generally speaking, sole proprietors know that their name is relatively unique in their area when they choose it. If you want to register it with the county, you can do that as well. And generally speaking, they don't do name searches when you do that. They let you just file it, and that puts the public on notice that you're doing business under that name. But generally speaking, it's very informal as a sole proprietor. You pick a name you like and identifies your business if you want to do that, if you don't want to use your own name personally. and that's all.
Are there some legal ramifications to choosing the name that someone else in another area of the country possibly has?
Sure. These days, if you market over the internet, and you can expect, you know, it just happens that that means you're doing business anywhere, and there can be another business with the same name. So you could do a comprehensive name search, but that could involve a lot of time and money. So you just have to use your common sense. If you're reaching out in a big way to other areas or in particular localities, you'd want to do some kind of localized name search there or pay somebody to do that. They have name search agencies that do that for you. But if you're starting small and you're starting local, usually you know, you'll know what names are available to use, and that's how you approach it.
Well, now, we covered the obvious advantages of starting a sole proprietorship. What are some of the disadvantages?
Well, you're personally liable for all your business debts, and that means that everything you own personally is subject to satisfying those debts. And a lot of people go into business and, of course, don't succeed, and your exit strategy can be kind of important. And if you end up owing creditors or you have outstanding loans, that's going to affect you personally. You'll be personally liable for those debts. That's the main disadvantage of a sole proprietorship.
Mm-hmm. And another form of business that can be popular in some business models is the partnership. Now, how does the partnership work?
So a partnership is very much like a sole proprietorship in the sense that you get a partnership automatically. There's nothing that you have to do if you go into business with anyone else. You have a co-owned business. The law says you have a partnership by definition. And what that means is an extra level of tax complexity. That means when you file, instead of filing a Schedule C with your tax return, you'd file a 1065 form with the IRS, a partnership tax return, and immediately you will see that it's very complicated. It involves, you know, submission each year of an information return to the IRS and perhaps to the state, and you'll have balance sheets and assets and liabilities to prepare. You'll need extra tax help. It gets more complicated even when you don't file any formal legal paperwork. If you go into the business with someone else, you have a partnership, and your tax status changes. So that's a big consideration. The other consideration, of course, is a practical one. In a co-owned business, someone else can bind your business and can make decisions for your business. Legally, they're an agent for your business, mm-hmm. so that you no longer have total control. And a lot of partnerships have falling outs. Anyone who's been around partnership law for any amount of time sees that all the time. You start out with a lot of energy and enthusiasm, but oftentimes, depending on how your business goes, even success can be a problem because then people decide to do different things when they get successful. So you have to really think about sharing your business with someone else and make sure that you're going to be compatible with the other owner. And really what I'm leading to here is most partnerships, even though it's not required, should have a partnership agreement where you state your expectations. That can kind of help smooth things out as your business grows.
Yeah, that sounds like a common sense approach, really. Are there different types of partnerships?
There's general partnerships. It's the common type. If you shake hands with somebody and say, let's do this together, let's go into business and try and be successful, you have a general partnership, and you're both personally liable for your business debts, just like a sole proprietor. If you take the extra step, if you do a more complicated type of business, let's say you look around for investors, you're going to run the business, but someone else is going to help finance it, or someone might manage it, but you'll handle the day-to-day operations. Mm-hmm. You may decide to have a special type of partnership called a limited partnership. You have to file a form with the state to do that. And the general partner in a limited partnership maintains control and makes most of the decisions and is personally liable for those decisions, just like a sole proprietor. But the limited partner is only liable to the extent of their investment in the partnership. So sometimes that works for certain types of businesses where both owners are not going to be active. One might decide to kind of step in the background and just kind of help fund the venture. Real estate ventures are like that and other types. But those are the two common types of partnership.
Now, are partnerships generally static, or can they change as the partner relationships change? Like, say, for instance, if one partner leaves and I want to replace him with another partner, or maybe you want to add a partner into the business, can that be done easily, or do you have to completely redo the entire business form?
Well, legally, a partnership terminates when a partner leaves and you have one person left because it's no longer a partnership. some partners should take care of that in their partnership agreement and say that if a partner leaves, another partner can be brought in without legally terminating the partnership. But it gets complicated because when more than 50% interest in a partnership change hands, the IRS generally says that you have a tax termination of the partnership. That means that you've kind of dissolved the partnership and then restarted another one for tax purposes, and that can have significant tax consequences. So that's one of the things that to realize about partnerships. Because of these issues and other ones, when you form a partnership, going in, you should get tax and legal help. It just makes sense because you're dealing with a more complicated type of business. And you want to know, you want to have that partnership agreement, and you want to know how you can get in and out of it and what the tax consequences will be when you decide to do that.
Yeah, it does sound a little more complicated. Well, a third form of business, if not a sole proprietorship or a partnership, a third form of business obviously is the corporation. What are the advantages of forming a corporation?
Well, I think the next one to talk about before the corporation, in order of complexity, is the limited liability company. And that helps you understand later when you talk about corporations, how they fit in. The two types we were talking about up until now, the sole proprietorship and the partnership, basically, if you think about them, everything I talked about, except change one aspect of them, give everybody limited liability protection. In other words, to obtain a sole proprietorship or a partnership in which nobody is personally liable for the debts of the business, that's a limited liability company, okay? Mm-hmm. A single owner LLC is taxed the same as a sole proprietorship. A co-owned LLC is taxed the same as a partnership. So essentially, you haven't changed your tax status, but you've changed your legal status. And the main thing you've changed is you're no longer personally liable for debts. Now, that seems like a no-brainer, right? Since you get that benefit, why doesn't everybody do it? Well, because you file papers with the state to form LLCs, you're much more visible. You may have state filing fees, annual fees to pay, even if you don't make money. California is an example where you pay a minimum of $800 per year to have an LLC here. You also file, in some states, separate tax returns for an LLC that are more complicated. You're definitely going to want to have an LLC operating agreement, which is like a partnership agreement, where you specify how things go. Mm-hmm. LLCs have a lot of flexibility, just like partnerships. So you get, for the benefit of limited liability legal protection, you get a lot more complexity. So you want to think twice before doing it. The way I think about both the LLC is, if you're a sole proprietorship or a partnership and you get to a certain stage where you start feeling a little bit uncomfortable about your legal liability, let's say you're a contractor or you have a storefront and you let people in, you start thinking, well, you know, I'm starting to make money in this business. This is a really valuable asset. We have a cash flow. And someone could potentially file a lawsuit against us. Mm-hmm. You know, we may really have real liability issues. Or you have contracts with the public. You know that sometimes there's disagreement with your clients. You may get sued. You may have some liability. Well, what if the liability is more than you're comfortable with? Then maybe having LLC is something that will help you feel a little more comfortable in your business, knowing that no matter how bad things get, for the most part, your personal assets won't be subject to seizure or liquidation for any liabilities your business may accrue.
So an LLC may not necessarily be for everybody, but can definitely be the right thing for many businesses.
It's a good step along the way. And like I said, I think you start simple. When you get to that point where you start realizing, boy, I've got a good asset on my hands. There's cash here, yet I have exposure to liability. And of course, you should always get commercial insurance to help you out with these liabilities. But often you can't get enough, or it's quite expensive to obtain enough. And you decide that I'm a little uncomfortable with my liability exposure. So as you grow and as you get more successful, changing a sole proprietorship or a partnership into an LLC, that conversion normally is a tax-free event. Mm-hmm. It's relatively simple to do. The paperwork's pretty simple. But once that added complexity of living as an LLC, doing business as one, makes sense, and your legal and tax person agree, then it's a good step along the way.
In our next episode, we'll continue our discussion with Tony and learn more about the various forms of businesses. We will discover the difference between limited liability companies and corporations, discuss the different types of corporations, and how you can find out which form of business is right for your company, as we conclude with part 2 of our two-part series on forming your business. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.